In this lesson today, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's one of the most misunderstood experiences in the Bible. Yet, I believe it is one of the most vital. God desires that all of His children be filled and flooded with His Spirit and His life, and that that would overflow out of you. And so today, we're going to be talking about this experience and how it changes you. The first place we're going to look in the Bible is the words of Jesus. This is in John 14. He promises the Holy Spirit. And so it's a promise, and if Jesus promised it to you, it's something that you can receive. And He says in John 14, verse 16, He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, a comforter, that He may abide with you forever." So Jesus, He promises a helper. He promises a comforter. He promises the Holy Spirit to us, to the disciples. And He says that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to live with us forever. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that He was going to send someone like Him, someone equal to Him. See, we talk about God a lot and we talk about Jesus a lot, but we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We're just kind of confused. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is His role in our life? And Jesus said He's come to help us, come to comfort us, and really come to empower us. And we'll see that later on. Then Jesus says this, which is something that really, this is crazy to me. He says in John 16, He says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send them to you." So Jesus said it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit. Now, I can imagine Peter and John standing there listening to Jesus, and they're just like, "What? Jesus, what did you just say?" Because up until this point in time, Jesus has been their everything. He's provided for them. He's taken care of them. He's blessed them. He's made sure they have a place to live. Jesus has fed them. He's healed them. He heals Peter's mother-in-law, right? He's like, He is their source. And so now He's telling them that He's leaving. And this is scary stuff. But He says, "Hey guys, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. In fact, it's better that I go away. Because if I don't go away, you can't get the Holy Spirit. You can't receive this promise." So when Jesus is departing, He says, "When I depart, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you out." Now Jesus, He has a lot more wisdom than you or I do. He's a lot smarter than we are, guys. It's something you just have to accept. And I don't mean to upset you today, but Jesus is a smart dude. We got to listen to Him. And Jesus understood that He was one man at one place at one point of time. And He could only be in one place at once. And so when He sends the Holy Spirit, it is for every believer that Jesus would be everywhere, that the same power that Jesus had, you could have. The same power that Jesus had, I could have. So Jesus, He's at one place, one point in time. He wanted when He left that there to be Jesuses all over the place, all over the world, that He would have the same power as Him, that we would speak it as ambassadors of God like Jesus did. And so this same power that Jesus had and that He flowed in is the same power that you can have and you can flow with. It is found in Acts 1. And this is Jesus talking. This is literally right before Jesus leaves the earth. He's about to ascend to the Father, right? He's going to float up, which is a crazy scene. Jesus there with His followers, and He's going to ascend back to God His Father. And He's going to leave the disciples. And so He tells the disciples a few things. And this is one of the things that He takes the time to tell them before He leaves. It says in Acts 1, verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So this is where we see this language about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's right here in Acts 1. Jesus says, "I'm promising you something from my Father. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Then He describes to the disciples, to His followers, what's going to take place when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So this is the promise that Jesus makes. You'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you will be empowered witnesses, and that you'll go. So a lot of times, I think it's been taught in the church that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or even the Holy Spirit in general, is just for me in my life, for me to have a good day, for me to feel better. You know, I'm feeling uncomfortable in this situation. Well, the Holy Spirit, He's going to comfort me, right? Well, Jesus, he lays out the purpose. This is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is that he would empower us to be witnesses. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about empowerment. That you in your world, that you would be empowered to do what Jesus did, that you would have power to furnish proof. That's basically what a witness does, is it brings forth evidence so that you could bring forth evidence in your life. Now, when we talk about preaching the gospel, or we talking about, you know, evangelism, or we talk about making disciples, I believe that's something that every Christian is supposed to do. No matter where you're at, you've been saved a year, you've been saved for 20 years. We're all supposed to be doing these things. And a lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. You know, I have to know what to say. I have to have the nice little gospel presentation. I have to have all the words figured out and, you know, constructed just right. And Jesus is saying that you don't have to worry so much about all that. You have the Holy Spirit now. He's going to be on the inside of you. He's going to help you speak clearly. He's going to help you be bold. He's going to give you power to not only preach, but to back up what you're saying. If we remember in Jesus' ministry, they would talk about what authority Jesus spoke with. But it wasn't just Jesus' preaching. It says people came to hear and to be healed. They came to Jesus not only to hear the nice things he was saying, but that they would feel and experience and encounter the power of God. And that's the same thing. That's God's desire for all of us, that we would go out as witnesses of him bringing power, not just a message, but that we would have the power to back it up. And that is the source of all that power is the Holy Spirit. And the first initial way that we experience that in our lives is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you're called to be a witness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it leads to you going, to you sharing, to you preaching, to you laying hands on the sick. That's what the end result is. It's not just a moment for you to feel good. No, but it's something that changes you, transforms you, so you can transform other people. Now, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I've said that phrase several times already now. If we think about baptism, in its simplest terms, baptism is immersion. So if I'm baptizing somebody, I am completely, you know, dunking them. I'm completely covering them in something. We think of John's baptism, and John the Baptist, he would go baptize people in the Jordan River, and John would take those people, and he would take them all the way under the Jordan River. Their hair was wet, all of them. They were completely underwater, and then he would bring them back up. Now, in the same way, Jesus' baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he is going to baptize us, take us all the way, where we would be filled and flooded, we'd be completely covered with the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. God's life, who he is, comes to live on the inside of you. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very simply that life that's within you, that Holy Spirit who's within you, that he would come up and come upon you. So he's not just in there and just, you know, you think of like a little guy on the inside who's with you. You know he's there, but nobody else does. No, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when his life, who he is, all of his power and his goodness, that it would come up, it would come rushing out, and it would come upon you, and that there would be evidence that other people would see it. Not just you, but it would be a sign to people. And so when you're born again, Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, but when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he comes up upon you. You see that? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is an experience of being immersed in and overflowed by the Spirit of God until it affects your flesh. And we see this in the Scriptures. Jesus, he describes all of this. This isn't my opinions or my thoughts. This comes from the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. He says in John 4, verse 14, he says, "The water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Then we see, he talks about in John 7, he says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus is using this imagery of that we would be filled with this water and that out of us would flow rivers of living water. It wouldn't just be a trickle or just a little stream, but it would be a rushing river. I don't know if you've ever seen a rushing river. Here in the U.S., we have Niagara Falls, and it's this big waterfall. And I don't know if it's in the U.S. or in Canada or wherever it's at. I'm sure it's disputed. No, but we have this big big waterfall, and it's just all this water rushing. It's this great force, and you can hear it. I remember walking up on this this waterfall as a little kid, and you can hear this great, mighty thing from afar off. It's all this water coming up, coming out, and that's what I imagine the Holy Spirit. It's not just a little trickle, not just, you know, a little stream, but it's this great, mighty, rushing force in our lives that would come up and come out of our hearts, out of our bellies, out of the innermost part of our beings. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is a manifestation of God's Spirit, and it produces, like I've already talked about, supernatural things in our lives. It's beyond the natural, it's beyond the norm, beyond the course of this world. It's just out there stuff. And the first place that we really see this is in Acts 2. So I already told you that passage about Jesus, and he tells the disciples, you wait here, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, wait in Jerusalem. When he comes, he's going to do these things for you. So the disciples, they wait out. It says they wait for 50 days, and they're gathered in the upper room, gathered together. They're waiting for something. They didn't know what was about to happen. And it says that on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, let's read it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then something happens. They begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is what happens, is that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. It wasn't just they have this experience, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit now. No, there was evidence, there was proof. Something came out of them. It was tongues. It was these other languages that they didn't necessarily understand what they were saying, but it was of God. And we're going to talk more about tongues in a minute, but that is the evidence, is that there would be supernatural events that would take place in our lives. Things that are beyond normal, things that you may not understand in your own human mind, own human intellect. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And that may be scary, it may be weird, but I got to tell you, as someone who's experienced these things, it's really good. And I got to tell you this, as being a Christian, I have a book, I have the Bible, but Muslims also have a book, Hindus have a book, Buddhists, they have their own book. So if we're just going based on, you know, well, here's the Bible and this is the truth, that doesn't always work for convincing people. But I can tell you something that is pretty convincing. When we bring miracles on the scene, when we bring the supernatural, when we bring something that's beyond this world, beyond the normal course of events, that messes with people. That challenges things. And so this is a great tool. It's something that God has given us, equipment, something that we need here on this earth to do His work, to share the gospel, to make disciples. And so it may scare you, freak you out a little bit, but I just got to tell you that it's good. I've experienced it, and it's something that you need in your life, in your everyday world. And so this baptism, get back to this experience, it's something that happens after salvation. You get saved, Holy Spirit, He comes, lives on the inside of you, and then this is the next experience that He comes up and He comes upon you. And this, we see this in the scriptures. We see this with Peter and John. They go down to Samaria. So they go down to Samaria. Samaria has just had this big revival, this big explosion of events. Philip's gone down there, and he's getting people saved. People are getting healed. And then he's baptizing people in water. But then they call for Peter and John, and Peter and John come down there, and they begin to lay hands on people and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And let's pick up this story in Acts 8. It says, when the apostles, Peter and John, who were at Samaria, or who were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them yet. So all of these guys, they've already been saved, they've already been baptized in the water, but they have not received this Holy Spirit baptism that I'm talking about today. And it says, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it says the apostles lay hands on them and that they received the Holy Spirit. And if we read on, it says that there was this sorcerer there and he sees this whole thing happen. And so he sees something take place. It isn't, that's what I'm trying to say. There's an experience. Something happens. It's we can see it in this natural world. It doesn't just take place on the inside. It comes out. And this sorcerer, he sees all this and he wants it. And so he, like, ask Peter and John, can I have this? Can I buy this stuff from you? And Peter and John say, you don't even understand what all this is about. It's not about money. It's not about these things. The Holy Spirit's not for sale, right? And so, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that other people would see. There was a sign to believers. It's a sign to unbelievers. It's a sign that this world would know that something has taken place on the inside of you. And how did it happen? It happened after you're saved, after you've called upon Jesus, and the apostles came, laid hands on people. So you can receive it by people laying hands on you. You can just receive it on your own from God. So in all of this, you heard me talk about tongues, and that's probably, I know that's a controversial topic in the church. But let's just talk about tongues. I'm going to be real with you, all right? Can we just have a real conversation here? I'm going to be real. Let's just talk about tongues for a second. Why should we speak in tongues? And it's a scriptural thing. It's not just a concept, you know, for certain parts of Christianity and some people get a hold of it and not. It's in the Bible. And so let's just go through some of these passages in the Bible and talk about tongues, right? The first point about this is that tongues are the initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the pattern in the book of Acts is that people would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and they would speak in tongues. I've already shown you Acts 2 and I've already shown you Acts 8. So we've already got two places we see that. People are baptized and they speak in tongues. Let's look in Acts 10. Peter, he's coming to this group of Gentiles. And this is the first group of Gentiles that have, no Gentile up until this point has been saved or baptized in the Holy Spirit. This hasn't taken place yet. And so we get to this part, Peter's coming, and he says, while Peter was still speaking these words, he's preaching to them, it says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And it says, as many as came with Peter, these Jews who came with Peter, they're astonished. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles too. So up until this point in history, point in time, the baptism of the Holy Spirit only been experienced by the Jews. But now in this moment, Peter brings it and it's for all people. And Peter is just as surprised as anybody else was that day. And then this is what it says in Acts 10, verse 46. It says that Peter and all the Jews that were with him heard these Gentiles speak with tongues and magnify God. So they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then what happens? They speak with tongues out of their mouth. It wasn't in their mind or in their heart. Out of their mouth, they speak with tongues and they magnify God. So this is a pattern. This is a biblical pattern that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then we would speak in tongues. Now, if you go to Acts 19, this is another occasion in the scriptures. Paul goes to Ephesus. And he meets these guys, he meets 12 guys, and he asks them, have you guys been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Paul? And Paul says, this is a problem. And so Paul, it says, lays hands on them, prays for them, and that they are all baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they speak in tongues. And so this is the pattern. That's the word I like to use, all right? I'm a guy, you know, I like to look at patterns and things that are going on, look at events. We have event after event after event in the New Testament where people are baptized in the Holy Spirit and then they speak in tongues. So just based on simple reason, simple logic, it seems to say that tongues is the initial sign for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why that is. I don't know why God set it up that way. I'm just showing you what the Bible says. You can come up with something else, but we got to look at the Bible. Tongues is the initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, speaking in tongues itself, what is it? Why should we do it? What's going on? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul kind of talks about tongues, and he lays some things out, some guidelines. He explains how it's supposed to work in the church and in a public setting and how you're supposed to use tongues privately. He explains all these things. And but he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, and it's a scripture that really helps me. He says in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're not speaking to the people around you. You're praying to God. You're speaking to God, and you're speaking out mysteries. That's the word that Paul's used. It's things that your mind may not understand. It may be events coming up that you're praying out. It may be something in your life. It may be something you're praying for somebody else. I heard a story one time of a missionary to Africa who had come back to the States. He'd been working in Africa. He'd come back to the States, and he was preaching around, doing a circuit, telling about what had been going on in Africa. And he begins, he's in one church, he begins to tell this story of he's in Africa working and he gets really sick to the point of death. And he's laid out and the natives are taking care of him. And he dies. And the natives, they lay a sheet over him. And they all go out and they're mourning his death. And it says not too long after that, he wakes back up. He comes back out there and he shows himself alive to all these natives, right? Sounds like Jesus resurrecting. And but this missionary is telling this story in a church that he had died and then he had miraculously come back to life. And all the natives were there. They all saw it. They saw him dead. They saw him alive. After the service, after the sermon, a young lady comes up to the missionary and begins to tell him this story. She said, a couple of years ago, one night I was woken up in the middle of the night and I felt impressed to pray in tongues. And so she began to speak in tongues. And as she's speaking in tongues, she sees this vision of a man in Africa who he's really sick and the natives are taking care of him. And the natives, they lay him out and the man, the missionary, he dies. And they put a sheet over this missionary and then they all go out of the room. And then she says she sees this image of the missionary coming back out. He was alive again and all the natives are excited because the guy's back. And she says, this happened 2 years ago. I remember I prayed for this. I was praying this out in tongues. I didn't know who this guy was or what was going on. And now I know tonight, after I heard you speak, that was you. And so the lady pulls out her journal and she shows the man, the missionary, the date, this point in time, this night where she prays for this. And then the missionary pulls out his journal and they compare. It was the same day, the same time. And so this is how God works. He wants to pray out these mysteries through us, and we have no idea exactly what's going on. She didn't know this missionary, but she just trusted God, and as she spoke in tongues, she prayed the perfect will for that situation. Now, let's look at the scripture in Romans 8. This is in verse 26. Paul's writing, he says that, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Just imagine this lady. She wakes up in the middle of the night. She doesn't know what to pray for. She just begins to speak in tongues. And it says the Spirit Himself, He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is referring to tongues. And it says this, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we're praying in tongues, we're not just babbling and speaking in gibberish just for the sake of being weird or doing something, you know, fun or whatever. We are praying out the mysteries of God and we are praying the perfect will of God. I know in many times in my life, I'm in a situation where I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. And my only response is to pray in tongues. And the Holy Spirit, He takes over. I yield to Him. I move my mouth, move my tongue. But He begins to pray for me and such peace comes and I know that I'm praying the will of God. Another amazing thing that happens when we pray in tongues is that it energizes us. And this is also found in 1 Corinthians 14. It says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies. That's like that word edifies means to charge up like a battery. That when we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up, charge ourselves up like a battery. Now, if you have a car, you know that something that makes the car work is a battery. And if the battery is dead, it's not good. If you go and crank up your car and it's not cranking up, we've got a problem, right? And so a battery in the car, it provides power, electricity, energy for the car to work. Now, a car can move without a battery. And you can use your foot and you can push the car around. You could get people pushing the car, but it is not a fun experience. The car can still move. It can still work. You can still use the steering wheel, do its thing, right? But it's tough. It's difficult, right? And this is the image of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's that there are times in our life when we need to be built up. Days when it's tough, when we're ministering to people and you don't feel like in yourself you have anything, or you're in a situation and you're just at a loss for words or you don't know what to do. In those times, we can pray in tongues and it builds us up. And it's like a car battery being charged up so that you can have the power, the energy, the force to do what you need to do. And it's a lot better to drive a car with a charged up battery than a dead battery, all right? So you can live your Christian life with a dead battery, but I'm just telling you, it's a lot easier. Get your battery charged. And this is an experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't just happen one time. It's a daily thing. It's an everyday thing in our lives. I'll just tell you a couple stories as we end out this lesson. I met a young man named John, and he had come to a meeting that my brother and our friends were hosting this meeting. And he came that night. He'd been a Christian his whole life. and he had begun to lose faith in his generation. He was a very committed guy, a very pious young man, devoted. He read the scriptures. He prayed to God. He went to church, did all the right things. But he wanted more. And so he had heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He had heard about tongues and these other experiences. And that was something deep down that he desired, but he didn't know anything about it. And so he came, he got around me, my friends. This is stuff we believe in, stuff we talk about, stuff we practice. And we began to share with him his message. And it came a certain point of time where he said, yes, I want that. And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak out in tongues. And something crazy happened, guys. John, after that day, he went crazy. And when I say the word crazy, it's a good term. He began to be like what I believe every Christian should be like. He began to share the gospel. He began to lay hands on the sick. And he looks back today. He's got journals filled with stories of ministering to people, having words for people, blessing people, all this stuff. And he attributes all these testimonies to that time in his life when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amazing, right? I met another young man. He was visiting my university. I was just with him for a moment of time. He had never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was saved, grew up in a Christian family, all that, but never heard about this thing. And we begin to share with him these truths. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Same thing. His name is Chandler. He went back home. He began to get people saved. He began to get other people baptized in the Holy Spirit. It changed his life. These are just two testimonies of countless others that we've seen of people. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they begin to turn their world upside down. They begin to minister to people. So maybe you've had that desire in your heart. You want more out of Christianity. You've been doing this thing. You pray, you read, you go to church, but you just desire more. And I got to tell you something, the more in all of this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need this in your life every day. You need to know how to pray in tongues. And so very simply, when I pray in tongues, I am yielding to the Holy Spirit who lives in me. I am not telling myself what to say, but I am yielding my tongue, my mouth. I speak out the words he gives me. It's like I quiet my mind and I let him speak out. And I saw this one time that a lot of us Christians, there's like a dam in our lives. Our mind is this dam and we don't let God's life out. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, me speaking in tongues, is simply I am opening up that dam. I'm yielding to God so his life can come out. So that with my friends, his life can come out. With my family, his life can come out. Wherever I go, wherever I'm at in life, the Holy Spirit, he empowers me to be a witness. He empowers me to give life. So I encourage you, everything I've said today, it's available to you. If you've been born again, all of this is free. God wants it for you. He desires for you to speak in tongues, have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's just very simple how we receive this. Like I told you those stories about Peter and John, they would lay hands on believers and they begin to speak out in tongues. It was a simple thing. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't all the lights and the fog and all the crazy stuff. It was very simple. You just make that decision in your heart. Do you want this? And if you want it, you can receive it. I challenge you, if you know someone who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, to go ask them, hey, can you help me receive it? And then if you don't know anyone, here's what I encourage you to do. You pray to God, you ask him, just very simply, God, I desire this gift, and right now I just receive it. Right now I'll speak in tongues. I ask you to speak through me. It's that simple. And then by faith, you begin to speak out and let the Holy Spirit give you the words to say. You don't have to make anything happen. He'll show you what to say. And you just begin to speak out and begin to do this in your life. So here's my challenge to you. Seek this thing out. Go after it. It's really good. It's going to change you. It's going to help you. Go for it. And just by faith, receive this. It'll make you a witness. It'll change how you look at people. It'll change your boldness. And you'll be able to do all the things that you dreamed of. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to change your life. So go receive it today.